אתם ניצבים היום כולכם לפני השם אלוקיכם. That's how this week's parsha starts out. That here we are today, all standing, getting ready in our minds for Yom Hadin, for the Day of Judgment, in our minds for Yom Kippur, in our minds for the Yamim Noraim. Those of you who have been to Shir Kali before know that what we normally do is we try to take a look at the parsha itself, try to identify its underlying themes, try to bring out both the essence of the parsha in and of itself, and additionally, try to bring it into our lives in a way that's meaningful as well. That shir exists on Parshat Nitzavim. I've listened to it, I've worked through it, I've thought about it, and I'm not giving it. This week, personally, I struggled a lot with the dichotomy of, on the one hand, knowing that I myself am going to stand here before you. I'm standing here today before you. But on the other hand, we're all standing in here today before God. And while that's of course always true, there's a different significance, there's a different meaning in it as we come into Rosh Hashanah. My thoughts are a little bit more scattered. My emotions are a little bit more raw. And I hope that by sharing with you a little bit of tremendous Torah that was passed down to me, and it was a very powerful experience. I hadn't even realized how many years it was since many aspects of this shir I was first exposed to around a decade ago and set me on my path to where I ended up. It was both enlightening and frightening at the same time to realize that I've been saying things for 10 years. I didn't even remember where they came from. And how much these have been a part of my growth and my avodas Hashem, and how much also I still have to go. And we also have to go. And so I hope that together, by me sharing these ideas with you, that again, I received from my Rebbe mostly, that's my Masorah, that it becomes your Masorah, we pass it down, and through receiving that Masorah together, by receiving that Masorah together, that we're able to stand before God in a stronger way on Rosh Hashanah. So we've touched upon many times before, the life of a Jew takes place in the context of two annual cycles. On the one hand, we have the cycle of the Mo'adim, the cycle of the Jewish holidays that take us from the beginning of the year and all the way to the end of the year. And seemingly totally separately from that, we have the cycle of the year as it relates to the Parshiyot HaShavua, starting all the way from Parshat Bereshit and ending all the way in the end of Sefer Devarim in Parshat Vezot HaBracha. One hears a lot about one of those cycles, one hears a lot about the other one of those cycles. But one hears less about the relationship between the two, and that's despite the fact that there are many indications that those two cycles interact, and it's something that we bring out so often in these shirim. One example of that, which is very relevant, very meaningful, very powerful right now, is the fact that Chazal identify, Masechet Megillah, that it's very intentional that every year, before Rosh Hashanah, we make sure to read Parshat Ki Tavo with the Tochacha, with the Brachot and Kalot, to give us a mindset of what it means to go into the year and what we can achieve. But the Gemara Masechet Megillah says that's why we read it then. There's an understanding on Chazal, and there are multiple indications of this. That there is an intentional, which needs to be so, because all of Judaism is soaked in meaning. There's an intentional overlapping of the cycle of the Jewish year and the cycle of the Parshiyot HaShavua. Something which my Rebbe pointed out requires further investigation, which I strongly suspect even when he said it then, 10 years ago, he still was already doing, and I know he's still doing today, which is not just how each parasha relates to each particular week in the cycle of the year, but even thinking on a broader scale, how each sefer relates to the time of the year that it falls out in. One of the more striking ones is Sefer Vayikra, which seems to primarily take place between Yetziat Mitzrayim, between Pesach and Shavuot, somehow inherently relating to Sfirat HaOmer, which is food for thought, and maybe we'll address it when we get to Vayikra later this year. But of all the Svarim, of the Chamishah Chumshei Torah, of any Sefer which most clearly overlaps with the time of the year, which screams out what the time of the year is about, it's Sefer Devarim. Every year, Chazal makes sure, every year, we begin Sefer Devarim on Shabbat Chazon. Parshat Devarim is always read the Shabbat preceding, always, Tisha B'Av. Every single year. And every single year, and we don't often think about it like that because of all the fanfare that goes on over the next month, the Torah always wraps itself up at the conclusion of the year. It takes us all the way through Elul, it takes all the way through Rosh Hashanah into the new year, and somehow within the new year, yet the culmination of the previous year, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, and on Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, we read Parshat Vezot HaBracha, and we begin the Torah again from Bereshit, El Chatan Torah and Chatan Bereshit. But Sefer Devarim is very intentionally, clearly intentionally, packed into the time that takes us from Tisha B'Av all the way through to the culmination of the year, to the end of the year, brings us to Rosh Hashanah. Whatever's building over the course of the narrative of Sefer Devarim is what's building us toward Rosh Hashanah. Whatever's building across the end of Torah, that's bringing Torah to its conclusion, which is bringing Torah Moshe to its conclusion, which is bringing Moshe's life to its conclusion, it's the same thing that's bringing the year annually to its end. We wrap up Torah as we wrap up the year, and we wrap up the year as we wrap up Torah. The two are one and the same. Thinking about then what Sefer Devarim is and how it so much relates to this time of the year, anyone who's had a chance to look at Sefer Devarim, to really read it through, to read it through thoughtfully and clearly, who has a sensitive ear, and if you haven't, I highly recommend at some point in the very near future doing so. If you want something to really get you fired up for the Emunah Ra'im, just even read Devarim, particularly Parshiyot, V'etchanan and Ekev, and unsurprisingly, Nitzavim and Vayelech and Ha'azinu. Sefer Devarim has a whole different style, a whole different flavor to it from all the other Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Reshit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bidbar, they all have a very similar style, a very similar way of working. But one enters into Sefer Devarim, if one looks carefully, doesn't even have to look so carefully, if one just has their eyes open, one feels and hears and experiences that Sefer Devarim just exists in a totally different place. It's speaking in a whole different way. While in all the other Sfarim, every word is carefully measured in a way where if we see any repetition, we jump at it and try to understand it. In Devarim, that's also true, but there's repetition everywhere. The style is different, it's repetitive, it's talkative. It has a more Musar-oriented feel to it, especially again in those Parshiyot, V'etchanan, Ekev, Nitzavim, Vayilech. It's a very, very different type of Sefer. I want us to just read through together, and again, the source sheet is very different than our normal source sheet, because this year is very different than our normal Shir. Just the first eight sources, just some of the psukim that you would only find, some of the psukim that you will only find nowhere else in Chumash when you see psukim like this except in Sefer Devarim. Source number one, the vast majority of these are from, the majority of these are from Parshat V'etchanan, and then scattered throughout Ekev also. Ata horeitza ladat, ki Hashem hu Elokim eino milvado. You've been shown in order to know in the depth of your heart that God is the one true singular God in the heavens and the earth. Eino milvado, there's nothing but that one God. V'yadata hayom, Vashivota elavavecha, know today, understand, and not just understand it in your mind, but bring it into your heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem yudkei vavkei is Elokim. Bashamayim imal, in the heavens above, al arz mitachat, and on the earth below, ain od, there's nothing else. Sukim that come to the very heart and soul of Judaism itself. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, understand, not the Shema, don't just hear it, understand it, take it into yourself. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is our Elokim, God is here with us. He is above us and beyond us, but He is here with us, and God is one, and He is the singular unity. There is nothing else but God. V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, and therefore love God. V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavecha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with everything you have, but not even just with all of your money, the whole me'odecha, with all of your me'ods, with every me'od that you have, love God. And if you will listen to all the mitzvot that I tell you, which mitzvot, la'avat Hashem Elokeichem ule'ovdo b'chol levavechem v'chol nafshechem, to love and serve God with all of your heart and all of your soul. Again and again, all your heart, all your soul, all your heart, all your soul. Not only is it repetitive, but these are words that we don't see anywhere else in Chumash. And again and again and again, Moshe Rabbeinu is driving the point home in Sefer Devarim. The ultimate goal of all of Torah, v'atzem advikim b'Hashem Elokeichem, You are davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chayim kulchem hayom. You're the people who are truly alive today and for all of eternity. The goal is to be davuk, to cling to God. No explanation, no details. We're not talking about it. Bottom line, what do we need to do? We need to be davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very famous parasha referred to as Parshat Yirah. Vata Yisrael, you know, we always often say, sometimes when we're down, sometimes even when we're up, and sometimes when we just want to throw up our hands. What does God want from me? What does God want from me? How am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know what God wants from me? And the answer is, we've never read Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim has been stolen from us. We don't. It's not taught, it's not gone into, it's not given the proper attention. The answer is in the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu, of all people, if you're in a position of somebody to ask, what does God want from you? I would ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, great, I'm going to tell you. He says, V'ata Yisrael, now Israel. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shrol Meimach. Source number 7, what does God want from you? What is he asking of you? I'll tell you, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Kim Yirat Hashem Elokecha. To be in awe of God. La'alechet Bechol D'rachav. To walk in all of his ways, to emulate God. To love God, and to serve God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And as the Ramchal points out in the original version of Mesilat Yesharim, and in the next book of Pasuk is, and also do the mitzvot. That's very, very important. And if you're not doing the mitzvot, we're not doing the mitzvot, we haven't entered into the conversation. But that's the second pasuk, and that's after this whole beautiful pasuk of what does God want from us? To serve him, to emulate him, to love him, to fear him, and also do the mitzvot. Ayin Sham, it's in the back, in the original Mesilat Yesharim, the Seder Vikoach, the way that he beautifully understands those psukim. Last one, number 8, V'Hashem Elokecha Tira, V'Oto Ta'avod, V'Ot Tidbak, V'Yishvot Yishaveah. God wants us to fear him, to love him, and to be davuk to him, to cling to him. Nowhere else in Chumash do you see this psukim. And this is what the Torah is building toward, the end of the Torah is building toward. And what that implies is that the whole Torah is meant to be leading us to this point. Sefer Bereshit, Sefer Shemot, Sefer Vayikra, Sefer Midbar, and all of the nuanced details that go into those Sfarim, all of the details that go into the numerous mitzvot, whether it's the 613 mitzvot, or whether those 613 and their infinite applications, the infinite way in which they expand into the ways we're meant to guide our lives, all of those details of Torah, they're incredibly important. They're incredibly important. One has not begun to enter into Avodat Hashem until one is living within the context of the mitzvot. However, claims the Torah in its very structure that after all is said and done, the Torah is meant to lead you to here, to Sefer Devarim, to take all of those details and they're meant to come into, to unify, to come together into a context of Avodat Hashem, into a context of Ahavat Hashem, into a context of Yirat Hashem, into a context of Vekutin Hashem. That's where the whole Torah is leading us towards. That's where the whole Torah is culminating in. That's the goal of the very Torah itself. If you've gone through the whole Torah, and all you're doing is keeping the mitzvot, and there are many sfarim that point this out, this is not coming from me, and I've seen it inside, even just learning with all of you in different contexts over the last few weeks. Inside black on white, without exceptions, across the board, that a person can go throughout their entire life, and if they're doing Torah and mitzvot, and they're doing Torah and mitzvot, they were born into a life of Torah and mitzvot, they were born into a base medrash, they were born into a base knesses, they were born into that lifestyle, and they could be doing Torah and mitzvot their entire life. But when they get to a Kadosh Baruch after 120, God will look at them and say, what have you accomplished? Did you work to earn it? Did you work to have a relationship with me? Did you work to make that real? Did you fight in this world for me? Did you fight in this world for your atash? And did you fight in this world for avatash? And did you fight in this world for dvikut? That what this world is about is working to earn that, is working to achieve, is that's taking all of those details that we learn in the shirim that we've been in, that we've learned in high school, that we learned in seminary, that we learned in yeshiva, that we've learned on campus. Take all of those details that we learned, and are we funneling that into Ahavat Hashem? Are we funneling it into Yirat Hashem? Are we funneling that into Avodat Hashem? It's a frightening question that we're going to be asked at the end of days. It's a frightening question that we have to ask ourselves every year now at this time of year. To what extent have I taken the whole year that's behind me and all of its disparate details, and have I worked on myself to bring it to a place of deeper Avodat Hashem? Have I brought myself to a place where I'm truly serving God b'chol levavecha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. My whole lave is in it. My whole heart is in it. My yitzer tov, my yitzer hara, according to Chazal, they're both serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol nafshecha, with every aspect of my being, I'm giving everything of myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to dial Kiddush Hashem for HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I love Him so much, and I'm in awe of Him, and I'm close to Him, that there's nothing else matters. Same way, lo aleinu, that if it were a choice between jumping in front of, person jumping in front of in the way to save their child or save their spouse, I would jump in front in order to save HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod. B'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, there's nothing in my life that I don't want to elevate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a totally different headspace. Rebbe's a lot more harsh. I don't want to go too harsh. So maybe we'll skip the next piece. Maybe not. Maybe this time of year not. Rebbe tells the story of somebody who lives in the Old City. He certainly lived there then. I was familiar with him being around them when I was in the Old City as well. There was an individual in the Old City. He wrote a book. I assume one could say his name, but I'm not going to identify him by name. Who wrote a book about his experiences. That he basically searched the world, as he writes it, for 40 years. He traveled to the desert of the world looking for God. And not sure where God was. 40 years he searched. True story. Live person, lived there. Well known. 15 years he actually even spent in India at an ashram. He became a guru. Eventually, at some point, found his way to the Kotel. While he was in Yerushalayim, so he decided to go and see. He'd never been in a Beit Midrash, to go and see a Beit Midrash. And he describes his experience walking into a Beit Midrash. And he walked into the Beit Midrash, and he sits there for 1 day, for 2 days, for 3 days. And as he says, he starts to go crazy. He starts to go crazy. And he looks at somebody and says, I don't understand. In this room, we talk about everything. You guys are talking about everything that there is under the sun. But there's one thing that nobody in this room seems to be talking about, and I can't understand it. The one thing that nobody in this room is talking about is God. The one thing we don't talk about in the Beis Medrash. The one thing that we're not engaging in. You know, I'll share with you a personal story. So you know I already didn't say, because it happened to me much later. It was a very jarring story for me. I was traveling one time in Manhattan, which is jarring in and of itself to travel on the public transit in Manhattan. I'm sitting on the subway, and a person comes up to me. I'm sitting there. Sit out, keep on. Figured out I was Jewish. And he looked at me. He looked me in the face. I'm going to repeat what he said. And he looked at me and he goes, you should know, Jesus loves you. And then got off the train. And I was so angry. I was so angry. And as I got off the train a few stops later, I thought to myself, why was I so angry? Meaning, he's wrong. He doesn't. According to them, I'm definitely a sinner. So he definitely doesn't love me. Second of all, I don't believe in him. But why is it bothering me? And when I really gave it the contemplation as I was walking to where I was going at that time, it struck me that it hit a chord. Because I don't remember the last time that somebody standing up from a pulpit, that or somebody giving a shiur, I haven't heard somebody look at me and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Can you think back? Think back to all the drashot, think back to all the shiurim. How often do we hear somebody get up who's telling over Torah and saying what the Torah itself says, or Moshe Rabbeinu is crying out to us through all of Sefer Devarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you and wants you to love him back. That's what hit me. That's what hit me. And it's something that we need to put a lot more emphasis on. It's something that we in our own learning need to make sure to put an emphasis on. It's something that myself, my fellow educators and rabbis, that it's on us, the fact that we don't talk about it enough. It's something which I try to make a point of dafka here on campus. I talk about it all the time. I try to do a tikkun for that a little bit. And I take heat for it sometimes. People say, why are you talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Tell us about other things also. And for me, it's an overcompensation. I'm not worried. You'll get everything else when you leave. I'm convinced that whatever shul you go to, whatever place you go to, you hear about everything else. But I want to make sure that for at least the 2.5 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 years that you're here, that's something that you're hearing again and again and again. Because I don't hear, I don't see people going out. Very few. and spreading what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking to declare at the end of days, to declare at the end of Torah, to declare at the end of the year, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you and to be Oved et Hashem b'chol levavcha b'chol nefshecha b'chol me'odecha. Now if that's true, why are we waiting until now? Why wait till the end of the year? Why wait till the end of Chumash? Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu do this much earlier? Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu, why doesn't the Torah start off? The first pasuk, Bereishit bara Elokim et Hashamayim v'et ha'aretz v'ha'at Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nefshecha b'chol me'odecha. That's it. Go right there and jump into it. If that's the whole goal, if that's the point, start off with it. The very end of last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu gives the answer. It's amazing how many things that we have questions about that the answers are right there. Right? Just got to look at the Pesukim. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us everything we need to know. Sefer Devarim is a guidebook for life. Tangent, very literally. Very literally. There are those who understand that when Yeshua goes into Eretz Yisrael, in the very first parak of Sefer Yeshua, when Yeshua goes into Eretz Yisrael, he's told, make sure lo yamush Sefer HaTorah hazemi picha. Don't let this Sefer Torah leave your side. And Rashi understands, I believe it's Rashi, but it's certainly one of the first, I believe it's Rashi. Rashi understands, lo yamush Sefer HaTorah hazemi picha. Forget the first four Sfarim. Don't leave Sefer Devarim behind. Keep that with you every day. Now you're done with the desert. You're done with the miracles. You're done seeing God. You're about to go into Eretz Yisrael and live life. You're going to live in the physical world. You're going to live in the world that's complicated. You're going to go out there and live. I'll tell you what to take with you. Take with you Sefer Devarim and don't ever leave it from your side. Incredible understanding of Rashi in terms of what even Yeshua, and that's Yeshua, going into Eretz Yisrael, Kal Vachomer, us in our little place, going into the Chutz La'aretz, to keep Sefer Devarim with us. So why are we waiting until now? Says the Pasuk in source, number 9 on your sheets. At the end of the Brachot and the Kalot and the Tokacha, in the underlined source number 9, V'lo natan Hashem lachem liv ladat, ve'inayim lirot, ve'oznayim lishmoa ad hayom hazeh. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't have the heart to understand, and the eyes to see, and the ears to hear until this very day. The very last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Chazal understand, learn out from this pasuk, that a person can really only internalize the words of their Rebbe once they've sat and turned it over in their mind for 40 years. It takes 40 years to really understand what your Rebbe meant. There's a 40-year process, something inherent and beautiful about the number 40, which we'll talk about when we have Shiram on Sefer Devarim in and of itself. Something inherent in the number 40, in that amount of time, that it takes time for these things for us to go through the process of internalizing Torah before we can really understand what it is that it's meant to be, where it is that it's meant to go. It takes 40 years. In the microcosm of the year, there are 40 days. Know what those 40 days are? The 30 days of Elul and Yaseret Yemei Teshuvah. 40 days to bring us to that same place. To get to a place of a Lev Ladat, and Inayim Nirot, and Oznayim Lishmoa Bayom Hazeh. But it takes time to get to that place. It takes work to get to that place. And the place that we're meant to get to is a place where we're connecting to God, we're being davut to God, we're loving God, and that where we're living godliness. Mahu rachum, afatarachum. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at us and asking us to be godlike, to be godly, to bring God into ourselves through our relationship with Him, to emulate His midot, to be a carrier, a chariot for those midot, and to be godlike in this world by being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe, and this is all from Rebbe Rav Amos, the Rebbe tells a story that when Rav Chaim Friedlander Tzatzal was on his deathbed, he was at the end of his life. He knew he was suffering from a terminal illness, and at the end of his life, before he passed away, so he went to Rav Shach Tzatzal, and he said to Rav Shach, I know I only have a few months to live. If I only have a few months to live, what should I be working on? Can you imagine Rav Chaim Friedlander, Mashgiach and Panovich, coming to Rav Shach, and saying, this is it. This is the last time that I have in my life. Of anything to work on, what should I be working on? Rav Shach replied, you should work on your midot more than anything else, because that is what a person is mainly judged over in Beit Din Shalmala. We're judged on our midot. We're judged on who we are. We're judged on if we made Torah a part of ourselves. We're not going to be judged over whether we did Torah. We're not going to be judged over whether we know Torah. We're going to be judged over whether we are Torah. We're going to be judged over whether we are godliness. The Torah is godliness manifest in this world, and are we godliness? Have we become living Torah? Have we become rachamim? Have we become anava? Have we become those midot? As I already put it again in his harsh way, that when a person gets to 120, God's not going to ask how many dapim of Chumash one learned, or how many dapim of Gemara one learned. As I already put it, he's going to ask, did you smile at your friend? Did you smile at your friend? And he's going to ask. He's going to say to me, I told you, this whole thing, I'm talking to myself, not talking to you. It's why it's so raw. He's going to say to me when I get up to Beit Din Shalmaon, and when you smiled at your friend, Rabbi, did you smile because it said to smile in the book? Or did you forge yourself into a person who was someone who smiles at other people? Did you make that a part of yourself? He's not going to ask what color your clothing are. He's not going to ask if you're wearing black or white. He's not going to ask if you're wearing black or white. It's all the same on both sides of the aisle. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask us what we wore. He's not going to ask us about all the externalities that we obsess over. He's going to ask us about who we are. Did we become living Torah? Did we create a relationship with Him? Very powerfully, it's what the Navi in Yeshayahu, in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, says. And it's unsurprisingly the Haftarah that we read on Shabbat Chazon, kicking off this whole process before Tisha B'Av. We'll read a few Pesukim in source number 10. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amot, the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu. Pasuk Bet, Shimu Shamayim v'ha'azini eretz. Listen, heavens, and hear in the earth. Ki Hashem diber, because God is speaking. Banim gidalti v'romamti. I raised these people as my children. V'heim pashubi, and they sinned against me. Yadashur konehu. An ox knows its owner. It's very clear on that. V'chamor evus ba'alav. Yisrael el yada, but my people doesn't understand who created them. My people doesn't understand who they're connected to. My people is not a contemplative people. And if you've been in the shir before, you know it's something which we constantly come back to. It was something that was being lamented on from the times of Yeshayahu, and has only become worse and worse and worse to this very day. The lack of contemplation. The immense, the infinite number of things that we bombard our senses with over the course of a day. Whether it's endless amounts of schoolwork or classwork or work, or whether it's endless notifications that are coming out on our phones or our headphones or on our screens, that we don't take the time to contemplate. Because without contemplation, says Yeshayahu, and says everybody to this very day, says Yeshayahu, without hitbonenut, without making time for that contemplation, I can almost guarantee you, you won't understand who your creator is and you won't understand what you're doing. And what was it that they were doing wrong? It's frightening what they were doing wrong. Skip down to the underline. Shim'u Devar Hashem, listen now to Devar Hashem, not speaking to you personally, but this is Yeshayahu talking to the Jewish people, but hear it. Kitzinei Sdom, listen now, O people of Sdom, v'hazinu Torat Elokim Amamora, and listen to the Torah of God, nation of Amora. He's calling the Jewish people Sdom and Amora for not listening to these words of the Torah. What does the Torah demand that makes the people Sdom and Amora for not doing? Lama li rov sivchechem? Why do you keep bringing me korbanos? Not what I expected. God's yelling out, why are you bringing me korbanos? Yomar Hashem. Saveti olot elim, v'chelev mireim, v'dam praim, v'kvasim, v'atudim, lo chavatsi. I don't want any of this. It's enough animals. Stop with the animals. Our day and age, stop with this meaningless mitzvot. That's not the main thing that I'm looking to you for. You've missed Sefer Devarim. You've missed the whole goal of Torah. Stop just doing endless, mindless mitzvot. Who asked this from you? Pasuk Tzayin, skipping down. Rachatzu hizaku asiru roam alechem minegerinai. Cleanse yourself, purify yourself. Begs Yeshayahu. Remove the evil of your ways from before me. Chidlu areya. And then the bottom line pasuk, limdu etev, dirshu mishpat, learn goodness, learn mishpat. Ashru chamotz, shivtu yatom, riv almana, learn how to be people with people. Not to take care of your fellow Jew. Learn how to be a Jew. Don't just do Judaism, be Judaism. Don't just do Torah, be Torah. Be godliness in this world. Don't do godly things, because godly things bereft of godliness is meaningless. And it's not heeding this, which is why we read this before Tisha B'Av, that leaves the Korban HaBayit. That leaves the Korban HaBayit. And that means that over the process of these weeks of Tikkun, of the Zayin D'Nechemt, of the 7 weeks of Nechama, of the entirety of Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is crying out to us and begging us through Sefer Devarim in these weeks. What should we do? Serve God b'chol levechem, b'chol nafshechem, b'chol ma'od. Serve God with your whole self. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. My Rebbe claims that it comes from the fact that we just don't desire to be great. That on a certain level, he claims, we don't desire to be great. That we live in a world, and I think if one is contemplative and thinks about it, it certainly seemed to me to be true. That we live in a world, in a religious way, that a world of mediocrity. Where our goal is to be the top person in this field, or in this class, or in this thing. But as long as I do everything else and fulfill my obligations in Judaism, if I'm a mediocre Jew, that's okay, as long as I'm successful in everything else. And that's something that the Gemara and the Nevi'im were also already screaming from the rooftops about, all the way back in their times. It's an incredible Gemara. Take a look at this Gemara in source number 11. Amalu Rava L'Rabbanam, other side of the page. Mituta Minaychu says, Rava, I'm begging you. Rava's telling to his students in his Beit Midrash. These were big people. He's begging them. Lo tirtun tarte Gehenim. Don't inherit two Gehenims. Don't inherit two Gehenims. Rashi says, what does that mean, two Gehenims? He says, very simply, that Rava was saying to his students, you're inheriting Gehenim twice. You're too from to really enjoy this world. You're too from. You won't go as far as you need to go to really enjoy the physicality of this world. You feel too guilty to really enjoy the physicality of this world. So you're not enjoying this world. But on the other hand, you're not really investing your whole being in Torah and Mitzvot. You're not investing your whole being in Avodas Hashem. So you're inheriting Gehenim here, you're inheriting Gehenim there. But pick one. Either invest yourself fully in this world, and at least enjoy this world, since there will be no Olam Haba for you. Or invest your whole being in eternity. But don't invest yourself in mediocrity. And it's only echoing that which Eliyahu HaNavi himself said on Har HaKarmel. Unbelievable pasuk, he looks at the Jewish people. And he says to us today, Ad mataya temposchim, source number 13, Ad mataya temposchim al shtei asifim. For how long are you going to have one foot on each side of the line? Im Hashem ha'elokim l'chuach harav. If God is God, then go and follow him. V'im ha'baal l'chuach harav. And if Baal is real, then go after Baal. I think Baal's a joke. I think Baal's ridiculous. But if you think Baal's it, so at least follow Baal. But do something. Give your whole being to something. Give your whole self to something. Eliyahu HaNavi is screaming. But pick one and go with it and make it real and make it who you are. Be something in this world. We're not in this world to be, we're in this world to become and choose what you want to become. And we're each meant to do that on our own. We're all meant to do that on our own. We read on Tisha B'Av itself as well, and as always, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always puts the tikkun into the kilkul. He always gives us the shufa and the makkah. He always gives us the way out. And on Tisha B'Av itself, we read these psukim, which talk about exile. But if one listens sensitively, inherent in those psukim is exactly how to come back. Because God is never going to leave us. God is always with us. From the Torah reading in the beginning of Parshat Ve'etchanan, which is right after Tisha B'Av, which you also read on Tisha B'Av itself, source number 14, Kitolid banim uvnei banim v'noshantem ba'aretz. When you have children, you eventually are going to become noshantem. You're going to become tired and weary and lazy in the land. You're going to stop really putting in. You're going to fall asleep. You're going to be walking dreamers. You're not going to be living. Vishchatem v'asitem pesel tunat kol, and you go off the derech, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will throw you out of the land. Verse number 27, Chavzayin. Ve'ifitz Hashem etchem ba'amim, then God will send you out into the nations. Now one can understand this as a punishment. God is going to get angry, he'll be upset with us, and he'll start throwing plates, and then once the plates start to crash, we'll have to run out of the house, then we'll run out of the house, and nowhere to go. It's a fight. Of course not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you don't get it, if you fall asleep, I'm going to wake you up, unfortunately, in the harshest way possible. And I'm going to send you out. And I'm going to send you out and intentionally disperse you all throughout the nations where we are to this very day. And I'm going to do that for a reason. And the reason's in the next pasuk. Pasuk chafchet. Excuse me, chaftet, the underline. That it's only from there, listen to the depth of this pasuk in a new way. Uvikashta misham, and dafka from there, in exile, on your own, by yourself, vikashta misham, you will all search, at Hashem Elokecha, you will search there for God in the darkness. And I'm guaranteeing you, says God, that from that place of darkness, umatzata, you will find him. But on one condition, ki tidrashenu, if you seek him out, bechol levavecha uvechol nafshecha. Uvikashta misham, all of us in this room are meant to find God here in Galut. We're all meant to find God. But we're not necessarily meant to find God together. We're also meant to learn together, to come together, to be together. 100%. Uvikashta misham et Hashem Elokecha. What's the next word? Umatzata, lashon yachid. And each one of you is meant to find God on your own in the darkness. To go out there into that world, into that deep dark world. And to search for God and find him on your own. We start out with Avraham Avinu, we produce the Jewish people, we become Ish Echad, Lev Echad, Matan Torah, and then we slowly start to break up into encampments, and then we break up into divisions in Eretz Israel into 12 different tribes and 12 different spaces, and then we're out in the nations with individuals. And we come back to where we started. We come back and we're all expected to search deeply within ourselves and say, where is my Avraham Avinu side? As I live in this world of darkness, where are my Avraham Avinu? Where are my Sarinita? Where are their genes in me? And I'm meant to find God as only I can find God in that darkness. And I can only find God just like Avraham Avinu, with searching with all of my heart and all of my soul and putting all of my kishkas into it. That's how I'm going to find God. And at that point we get to this week. If there was enough room, I would have put the whole parsha. It's only 40 pesukim. I would have put the whole parsha on the end of the source sheet. But that's basically what the rest of the sources are. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. We're now, after everybody has searched on their own, now we're all standing before God. Roshechem, shiftechem, ziknechem, veshotechem, kol ish Yisrael, every single individual, no matter what you are. It doesn't matter. You're a leader, you're not a leader. Man, woman, child, tapchem, nishechem, vigarcha, asher bekerav machanecha, mechotev etzecha v'yachuv mecha. You're a water carrier, you're a wood chopper, you're the head of state. It doesn't matter. You're all an individual, and you have your own tafkid, and have you filled that tafkid, and now all of us right here, we're standing together as individuals. Together as individuals. Before God. What have we found? What have we accomplished? Who have we become? To what extent have we brought godliness into our lives? Whatever it is that we're doing, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're here and you're planning to be a doctor, or you're planning to be a lawyer, you're planning to be a teacher, you're planning to be a physical therapist, or you're planning to be lots of other things. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you're out there going to do, whether you're going to be a water carrier or a wood chopper, it doesn't matter. Who are you? Who are you? Because what you do is not who you are. This parasha, these 40 pesukim, we mentioned the power of somebody coming and saying, I'm basically at the end of my life, and what's the bottom line? You know, all of Sefer Devarim is the bottom line of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's got 37 days left. He starts at the beginning of the month of Shvat, the first of Shvat, and finishes on Zayin Adar on the day of his death. This book is the last will and testament of Moshe Rabbeinu for the Jewish people for all time. And the only thing more powerful than that, the only thing more intense than that, is what would Moshe Rabbeinu say to me on his final day? Atem nitzavim hayom. You stand here today. What is today? The last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. These 40 psukim are the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to tell us. You're standing here today on the last day of my life, and I have one last message to give you. That's why the parsha is so short. No time for long speeches now. Bottom line, what are we meant to do? Why are we here? Bottom line. 40 psukim. Vayelech is already looking toward the future. Vayelech means to walk out, to go forward. We're looking at Yoshua. We're thinking about the future. Hazinu is the story of all of history. Those are very grand themes. The end of my life, right here, I'm standing here on my last day. If I could, I wish we could go through the whole parsha, pasuk by pasuk, and just sit and translate it, because what can I say that Moshe Rabbeinu? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. What can I say? Read these 40 psukim this week. Live these 40 psukim in your lifetimes. Read them this week and hear them. But hear the bottom line, the final paragraph. The final paragraph of the parasha. The last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu says before looking towards the future and passing the baton to Yeshua and giving us the story of the song of history. Pasuk Tet Vav in source number 16. You'd think it would be something mind-blowing, and it is, but we don't realize how mind-blowing it is. Re'ei natati lefanecha hayom, he says to every single one of us, lefanecha, see all of us, what I'm placing before you today, says Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life. On the last day of the year, as the year comes to a close. Et ha-chaim, ve-et ha-tov, ve-et ha-mavet, ve-et ha-ra. Bottom line, what is there in life? There's life and good, and there's death and bad. And it all comes down to that. And he has to go forward and say, Pasuk Yutet, Ha'idoti b'chem ha-yom et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. I am now testifying to you, ha-chaim ve-ha-mavet natati lefanecha. I have placed now before you life on one side and death on the other side. Habracha v'akala, blessing on one side and cursing on the other side. U'bacharta b'chayim. The last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu begs us is, choose life. What's the bottom line? Two words. Choose life. Make your life a life of choice. Make your life a life of choice. And in choosing, always choose true life. And one has to spend a lifetime, and there are sfarim written on these things that we don't learn. What is choosing? What is bichira? Why is that so important? How does that make me who I am? And how do I use that to forge me? And what is truly going after real, true life? Why is the Torah called an Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikimba? Why is it a Be'er Mayim Chaim? How do we go after true life? How do we make sure that every choice that I make, that every minute of my life, I'm choosing? And choosing life. Because if it was really obvious, life and death, there's a choice of jumping off the building or not jumping off the building. That's not a choice. Sometimes it is, but that's not a choice. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about. He's implying that every moment of our lives are being pulled by the forces of life and death. And we choose. He's telling us what Chazal tell us is about to happen in a few days. Last source, source number 17. Sheberosh Hashana Sifrei Chayim V'Sifrei Metim Potchim L'Fanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're about to enter into a day where the book of life and the book of death are opened up. Which book are we going to inscribe ourselves into? That's the way one of the Mefarshim understands it. Not that God is going to write us in. That on Rosh Hashanah we look at God and we say what book we want to write ourselves into. They're open in front of us and we choose, what do I want for this year? Do I want life or do I want death? And clearly, the simplistic definitions of life and death are not sufficient because there are people who are going to choose death. And there are people who are going to work to choose life. I wish we had more time together, but we'll close with this. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us at the very end, again, two words, and I want us to take these words, Bezrat Hashem, I hope we can all take these words and bring them into our hearts and into our souls. Bacharta, choose, chayim, life. For the next year, you have to make the choice. I have to make the choice. We have to make the choices individually and together. We need to choose, and we need to choose life. And Bezrat Hashem, by opening up our minds and our hearts to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, to the words of the Torah, to the bottom line of Torah, to the end of Torah, to the end of the year, we feel that crescendo. We hear Moshe Rabbeinu screaming from the rooftops. We hear Yeshayahu. We hear the Nevi'im. We hear Eliyahu. And Bezrat Hashem, all of us, we should choose life, feel life, bring it into our very fiber of our beings by bringing godliness into ourselves. And through that, an experience, Ashana Tava Umituka, Vashana of Chayim, a true Shana of living life. Bezrat Hashem.